music, the choir that did, and you as a congregation that did. Isn't it great that when you come to church on Sunday that you get to celebrate? And then as a result of celebration, then we have to give praise unto God. And see, folks, the last time that I was here that I had hair on the top of my head. And then when I had surgery 3 years ago, there was a doctor who came in and he said, I just want you to know that we gave you some medicine and it's going to take off the rest of your hair. He said, do you have anything to say? And I said, yes. He said, what is it? I said, give me some medicine that puts it back on. It has not happened. But folks, that as we look at and the aspect of the mighty love of God, then the thing that stands out and the thing that caught my attention related to this is that we're in the Easter week. And folks, when we think about what took place on Easter week, then likewise, we begin to look at Scripture and to see the aspects of what God is up to, and as a result of it, a special blessing that occurs. And see, the thing that I know is what God is up to. Now, when I was in Fuller Seminary doing doctoral studies in prayer and church growth, that I was in the meeting, the professor that was going to teach prayer, and he said, Barry, I just want you to know that I found out that you were a church growth person. I said, yes, sir. And he said, I just want you to know that even though that I'm professor of this prayer class, I don't like church growth people. And I said, sir, I've always perceived you as to be intelligent. He said, how did you arrive at that? I said, you married a lady from Birmingham, Alabama. And so we became friends. And I said, sir, are you going to be teaching what's on your syllabus? He said, yes. I said, I'm in the right class. And we became good friends. But I will never, never, never forget the impact of that. And then while in New Orleans, wrote on my doctoral project on the aspect of church discipline. And see, we've had 28 people under discipline that have been restored. And see, the thing that when I was a teenager, I saw that people that would look at individuals that had made a mistake, and then they said, we don't love them anymore, and we're going to kick them out of church. And I thought that as a teenager, well, this cannot be a real church. And then when I started pastoring, I heard some people to say the same thing. And I said, well, let me respond to you in two ways of how that your response should be. Number one, have you ever sinned before? Number two, have you ever done anything you wished you'd never done? And see, folks, what I can never do, and it's what I tell churches, never give up on people, especially of knowing that they're open to the aspect of restoration. And I'm grateful for a number of people that have been restored. They realize they made mistakes. And I've had individuals that come up to me and they said, do we have to tell you what we've done? And I said, no, that's between you and God. But the thing that I firmly believe is how much that God loves. And as we look at the scripture based upon the aspect of Matthew and see to, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, then we'll look at the aspect of John chapter 3, verse 16, and see, but notice the very aspect of what God is up to, but then we notice that in verses 37 and 38. What an amazing, amazing blessing that occurs. Notice, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. What an amazing, amazing expectancy. And then likewise, in John chapter 3, verse 16, it was the only verse of scripture that I knew when I became a Christian. And see, but the thing that stood out, and this has been a verse that has touched the lives of so many lost people that became saved people, and the thing they said, what do we need to understand about John 3:16? I said the first part, and I said there's four parts in that, but I said the thing that stands out is, for God so loved the world. Aren't you glad there is nobody that God doesn't love? Aren't you glad there's something of what God is up to, and what a mighty, mighty thing that is. And see what an amazing thing of knowing, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, don't you like that word? I love that word, and of how that God is blessing. But whosoever believes in him will never perish and but have everlasting life. What a great joy that is. But let us pause for a word of prayer. We ask God's will to be done, and as a result of it, what God is up to and what God is doing, what God desires to do, and what was in the beginning of his ministry, of his intent, and that God's ministry and God's intent has not changed. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the blessings of it. I thank you for it being a blessing to the community and how it has blessed mine and my wife's lives over the years of knowing this as a church, knowing the people, and to know that as a result, God is doing something great. I thank you for their wonderful pastor and his family, and I pray your special blessings and the anointing of the Holy Spirit continually upon him. And now, Father, I pray that you'll bless every person, and Father, that every need will be met, will feel the very power of the Holy Spirit that came into their hearts when they became a Christian, and that they belong to Jesus forever and forever and forever. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And see that as we look at the scripture, that we're going to find that sin is a problem and devastating. Now, the thing that stands out to me in that is Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And the thing that stands out, and the Lord God commanded the man, which was Adam, but commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat, and you may surely of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it shall surely die. And folks, what an amazing thing that stands out related to that. Then we find that God's love is holy, it is mighty, and it's awesome. And see the thing of what God is up to. And then we look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, and the thing that stands out related to of what God is doing and what it blesses me of what God is up to. And the thing is that God's love is holy, is mighty, and then it's awesome. And then as a result, what a special, special blessing. And then as you look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, what an amazing phenomenon of how that God blesses, and as a result, there's something that occurs in people's lives. But notice this, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. And so it's something that I rejoice in of what God is doing. And see, the thing that as we approach Easter, then folks, what a joy that it is to know that as we think about all that Jesus did, and see, as a result of doing that, isn't it great of what God was doing and what God wanted to bless all people? Isn't it great that the Bible teaches us it's not the Father's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? We'll look at that later, but it stands out in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. But I love that. It is not the Father's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But let us recognize in the aspect of what God is doing it in his mighty love. And see that we find that in John 3:16, that teaches us that God loved the entire world. And see, folks, I cannot get over that. And to know that as a result of that, what an amazing blessing. But God loves the entire world. Aren't you glad that God has loved you all of your life, and that there's never been a day in your life that God didn't love you? Yesterday, there was a person who stopped by my house, and she gave something and wanted me to vote for someone. And I said, well, ma'am, let me give you a card. Then you'll know who you've been talking about. And then when she saw the card, I said, ma'am, I am a minister, but could I ask you a question? And she said, yes. I said, if this was your last day to live, do you know that you know that you know that you're going to go to heaven? She said, I hope so. And I said, could I talk with you so that instead of you saying, I hope so, but you can say, I know so. She said, yes. And then I led her to the Lord. She was an African American. But the other thing is that after she had experienced that, then what a joy it was when she said, I have more peace in my heart than I've ever had. And then when I was pastoring at Canaan, there was something that stood out. There was a guy who came up to me and he said, Pastor, could you baptize me and my wife and my two daughters on Easter Sunday? And I said, yes. He said, well, do you know how many, are you going to be able to baptize me? And the thing that stood out, I thought he asked a good question. But his question described this. He was 6 feet six and 360 pounds. And he said, will you be able to raise me out of water? And I thought, God's going to do a miracle. And see, but the thing that I called a friend of mine in Randolph County, I said, I know that you're selling things related to the baptistry, but the other thing that stands out, do you have a seat that I can sit this person on? And he's almost as wide as the baptistry. And so that went there, and then the guy said, I'm going to take you out to eat. And so when he did, then we went there, and he said, you're not a real Baptist. I said, why do you say that? He said, because you're eating with the Church of Christ. And then I said, well, you're not a real Church of Christ. And he said, why? I said, you're eating with a Baptist. And see, but as a result of it, we were good friends and was able to get that. of how that God was doing and God blessed and his family was baptized. And see, the other thing in relation to the love of God and what God is up to is that we did a solemn assembly in my last church, and then my administrative assistant came in, and she said, Dr. Berry, do you know how many have joined the church since the aspect of the solemn assembly? And I said, no. And notice what she said. She said, well, dadgummit, I'm going to tell you. And I said, well, I'm going to have to make a response before you tell me, and I have to make a response to what you just said. And she said, what is your response? I said, it is the first time I've ever heard the word dadgummit used in a holy way. And then she said, I'm going to tell you now how many have joined. She said, we have had 135 additions, and you have baptized 72 of them. And see, folks, God is so good, and God is reaching out. And the thing that I look back is what God is doing in a mighty way, for God so loved the entire world. And then likewise, we find a second thing is that God gave his only son. And what an amazing event of what God is doing. And God has given his only son so that everyone would be blessed and everyone would have an opportunity and everyone would be forgiven of their sins. And see, the other thing that standing out, all of us have sinned. But the thing that I rejoice in is that the Bible teaches us, for if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And folks, what a joy that it is to know that the blessing of God is contagious. Isn't it great when people believe and they realize that they're not connected to God, that all of a sudden they want to find out how can they be connected to God and how does God feel about them? But still, the thing that I look at is that God gave his only son. And see, for that, for every person throughout the world. And so it's something that I think about whenever that people realize that aspect, and it's something that I feel that people have to be shared with is the gospel of Christ. And the thing that you can understand is this, that whenever that God puts somebody on your heart for you to be able to be praying for, and you don't feel that you're qualified to be able to share the gospel, I want you to remember this. Whoever that God places upon your heart to pray for, then always remember this. God is preparing you to talk with that person and how that God is going to bless. And the thing that I must emphasize, that as a Christian, let us not go to heaven by ourselves. See, God has never intended that any Christian to go to heaven without leading someone to Jesus Christ. And see, isn't that a great joy? Isn't that a joy that when people are saved, then special things happen? And see, then likewise, we find that the third thing is this, that God provided salvation. And it's something that I rejoice in. And see, that this past Thursday, I had the funeral service of a lady I baptized a few years ago at Canaan. But the other thing that stood out, that she was 92 on her funeral service. But the thing that stood out on the night that she was baptized there were seven people out of her family that were baptized that night. And then 12 months later, another member of her family were baptized. And that means that eight members of their family had given their life to the Lord, and something great is going to happen. Then I'm going to share with you of how that God provides salvation. And it's something that I will always remember. But I've been doing revivals online with various countries. But there's a country that I dealt with, and it was Pakistan. But folks, notice what has come out. That in that aspect, we have had over 4,900 to become Christians. That is a miracle. And the thing that, of what God is up to. And then I had a text from India, and they said, could you do in India what you've been doing in Pakistan? I said, yes. And then, folks, look what God is up to. Folks, there are people in your community that are ready to give their lives to Jesus Christ. There are people that are ready to be blessed. There are people that wants to be right with God. There are people who do not want to miss being God's family. And see, the thing that stands out, what an amazing thing. And the thing that stands out is that God provides salvation. And see, folks, that when God saved me, he gave me the spiritual gift of evangelism. And I love to lead people to the Lord. And God is up to something. And see, that God is ready to do something in America. In America, we need revival. In America, we need to pray that God's righteousness will fill this country and that revival and spiritual awakening will come. But also, as we look at the aspect of Easter, can you imagine that all that Jesus went through, that he went through for us? Can you imagine that in the midst of all of that, of what God is up to? And see, when I look at the aspect for God so loved the world, and he loved it entirely, and to know that God sent his only son, and to know that God provided salvation, and it's something I rejoice. And then likewise, number four, is that God provides heaven. Aren't you glad that in the midst of that, of knowing of what God is up to, and that God has a will for every person to be a part of the family of God? And see, the other thing is that the only way that a person will ever miss heaven is if they reject Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But I want you to understand what happens in heaven when a person becomes a Christian. Number one, there is celebration in heaven. What a great moment. And think about that when you became a Christian, that there was celebration in heaven of knowing that you belong to God forevermore. What a special, special moment that occurred. And see, as a result of it, God is doing an awesome, special blessing. But it's something I rejoice in, of knowing that when any person gives their lives to Jesus Christ, what an amazing event. On one occasion, I had a couple that I led to the Lord that afternoon. They were in their 50s. And the thing that stood out, they said, Pastor, we want you to be our pastor. We want to join the church. And we would like to be baptized tonight. And I said, we will do that. And as a result of it, she said, but we don't know. We haven't been going to church. We don't know how to join. And I shared with them that at the close of the sermon, you can walk down the aisle and I will present you to the church. We will celebrate. We're going to love you. God is going to be glorified. But then they said, well, what if we can't wait till you get through with the sermon? And I said, you come whenever is on your heart. And halfway through the message, they got out of their seat and walked down the aisle. And my response to that, to start with, is, oh God, I'm not through with this message. And the Holy Spirit said, yes, you are. And then as a result of it, they had given their lives to the Lord. Have you ever noticed that when people are being saved, that lost people will visit the church and evaluate the church and to see if they could give their lives to the Lord? I remember that when I was in the Crimea of the Ukraine, we were doing a revival that summer in an outdoor theater, and we were doing it at a military population of 13,000 in that population. And folks, to notice in that, in those 8 days, we had over 1,000 to give their lives to Jesus Christ. And then I had a soldier to come up to me, and he said, Pastor, I want you to know that I'm going to give you a present. I said, you don't owe me anything. And he said, well, you have given me a present. I said, what did I give? He said, you gave me Jesus. And then he said, I'm going to give you something like this, and we call it our moves. And the only place that you'll ever find is in Russia and the Ukraine. So he went and got that he said was this size. And then when he came in, I said, sir, with you being a soldier, if you ever get to come to America, I'm not going to give you something like this. I'm going to give you something like this. And I said, in America, we do not call it our moves. In America, we call it watermelon. And so, but a lot of people gave their lives to the Lord. And to know that as a result of it, I baptized a lot of people in the Black Sea and the Sea of Azov, and God was just doing something awesome in everywhere. And folks, the thing that I also enjoyed was not only Russia and the Ukraine, but also Paraguay. And I remember that the missionary, he said, we've invited you to come and to train our people in Sunday school and equip them how to reach people. And he said, what are you going to teach us? I said, I will teach you that of Flakes' formula, 5 particular principles. And I said, not only do church use those principles, but businesses as well. And when he heard those 5 principles, then he said, it is not going to work in Asuncion, Paraguay. I said, that's okay. I said, but I have plan B. I'm glad he didn't ask me what plan B was. It was the same as plan A. And God just blessed that. And the seminary professor's wife, she raised her hands and she said, we need this. And God just blessed it. And then likewise in Venezuela, of how many people gave their lives to the Lord. And then also in Australia, of how that great things that of knowing that God was doing and touching people's lives. And I remember that it was a lady from that church in Australia. She came up to me and she said, Pastor, do you see those sisters over there? And I said, yes. And she said, we've been praying for them for 10 years. I said, how many have talked to them? And they said, we haven't. I said, go ask them, could I talk with them? And they said, yes. And the thing was, both of them became Christians that day. And then as a result, I said, just out of curiosity, how long have you been thinking about becoming a Christian? And they said, 10 years. But notice when the church said that they were praying for them for 10 years, then likewise, they had been thinking about becoming a Christian for 10 years. And then the last country I was in was in Cuba. And God just poured out his blessing upon so many people giving their lives to the Lord. And as we come to the conclusion, then notice these, that God is a God of salvation. And the thing that, what an amazing event. And then we find that the power of God to salvation. I'm going to share with you out of these verses, and you'll have the contact of it. But what a blessing of knowing that God is up to and how that people are being blessed. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, notice what the Bible says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And then likewise, in chapter 3, verse 23, what an amazing description that it stands out. But in chapter 3, verse 23, that the Bible teaches a great commitment, and to know that in that, what a tremendous, tremendous event of knowing that our lives are going to be touched. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that it is in Christ. And then likewise, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and to know that in that aspect of what a tremendous moment, but therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. But then we find, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. And what a tremendous moment. And then likewise, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it teaches, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then we look at that now is the day of salvation. And see what an special moment in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Notice that in that statement, for he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you, and in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I love that. To know that is spoken to every person. But look how Jesus did that during that time that led up to his crucifixion. And to notice that he poured out his grace, to know that his love was contagious, to know what a mighty, mighty event. And then likewise, there is rejoicing. And see, of noticing that of how that people are best and blessed by rejoicing. But notice in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, that the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then we look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. And in that acclamation, we find that as a result, who desires, and that means God the Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I love that. Where God the Savior desires that all people everywhere be saved. I cannot get over that. And then likewise, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that the Bible says that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish. I love that. Not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come and all should reach repentance. God is up to something mighty, and God is up to something great. And as you go through the week of Easter, may it be a moment of celebration. May it be a moment of glorifying God. And may it be a special moment that as a result, that we're going to glorify God in all that we do. And see, folks, what an amazing moment. And to know that Jesus died for you and that Jesus died for me and Jesus died for every person. So I pray that God will bless you through this great week of celebration, that God will bless you as you share the gospel with your family, that God will bless you as you share the gospel with your neighbors, with your friends, people that you work with, and to know that God desires to use you and that God desires for you to be a blessing. And always remember this, God loves you with all of his heart. And so today I pray that all of you are Christians. I pray that you've invited Jesus into your heart. I pray that the joy of the Lord is in your heart and overflowing, and then as a result of it, there is victory in your life. Isn't it great that as you live for Jesus, then as a result, you live closer to God every day. You live closer to God in giving God your best. You live closer to God in that of having to talk with God every day. But always remember this, God loves you with all of his heart. And now as we move to our invitational hymn, always remember that today is the day of salvation. And then likewise, if you feel that there's a need to pray in the altar, then that is an opportunity. And folks, isn't it great in the midst of that, that God uses every person to be his special blessing? Let us pray right now. And now, Father, thy will to be done. We will glorify you. We will praise you. We will honor you, and Father, that your will may be accomplished. And I pray, Father, that you will bless every person in this church. I pray that in the midst of all of that blessing, that they will find that they're closer to the Lord in each day, that they love each other, that they love Jesus with all of their heart, and they love their community, and then they pray for lost people throughout this world. And so, Father, I thank you, I bless you, I praise you. And Father, my wife and I love this church, we love this people, and we desire your blessings for every one of them today and this very moment. And Father, to know that the greatest decision we will ever make is to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.